Aren't you glad he lives? Because if he didn't, we'd be dead without him. Amen. If you have your Bibles, take and turn them to Acts chapter 8. Today we're going to look at something very, 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 very important. So you with me on that? This is important. I have to tell you this little side note as well. As many of you probably know, I've got two boys playing All-Stars, and we were there all day yesterday. Joshua's team, that's why my voice is like it is. I scream too much as a excited dad. So, but Joshua's team got slaughtered, but he had fun. Joseph's team won. They're both playing today at 1 o'clock in Bartow. So that's where Kim and the kids are on their way to do that. They did come to Life Group, so we didn't let them skip completely. But as we were leaving, you know, a lot of the parents know that I'm a pastor, and they said, I bet you're going to do a super short sermon tomorrow, right, to get back by 1 o'clock. And I am going to try to get over there as quick as I can, but I am not going to short the Word of God to you this morning. But I have to share this. One of the parents there, he said, I got a great idea for a sermon for you tomorrow. He said, all you got to do, and this guy is a cop, so I listened to him, so... But what he said, I got a great idea for you for a sermon tomorrow. All you got to do is get up there, look everybody in the eye, and say, Jesus loves you. Amen. Think about that, and then you can be done. So, although that is very true, and that is very powerful, I want to dig a little bit deeper into that love this morning. Because Jesus does love us. And one of the ways that we know that he loves us is because of what he did for us. But also the security that we have in him, as we're going to talk about today. So on your outline this morning, I think the first blank says, what we're going to talk about today is literally a matter of life and death. So this is serious. This is one of the most important things that we can talk about as believers in Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you a very serious question, and I want each and every one of you to think about the answer. And don't just answer it quickly, but really stop and think about what I'm going to ask you, because the answer to this question and how you answer this question literally is a matter of life or death, specifically eternal life or eternal death. And here's the question. Do you know for sure, without any shadow of doubt, that you are a child of God? Do you know this morning for certain, without any doubt in your mind, that you truly belong to God? Because I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, the Bible says we can know that. We don't have to have any doubts. We don't have to have any hesitations. When somebody says, are you sure that you belong to God? Are you sure that you're going to heaven when you die? We can say, absolutely, 100%. So this morning we're going to talk about that. But I want to start with this verse out of 1 John. 1 John 5, verse 13 says this, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may, what does that next word say? That you may know that you have eternal life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. That's talking about those who are believers, those who are children of God, those who are Christians. John saying, I'm writing these things to you so that you may know that you have eternal life. The word know here means to both know now and in the future. With absolute certainty, you can know that you have eternal life. You can know that you are a child of God, and you don't have any reason to doubt that. You can know for sure, and God has given us several ways for us to know that. So today I want to make sure that each one of you know with absolute certainty this morning where you stand with God. Whether you can say, I am His, I know it without a shadow of a doubt, or maybe you're over here and says, you know what, I know I don't. I know I'm not His. If you're here, we can give you some assurance and just some confidence and more faith. If you're here, we can get you over here. I'm not going to do it, but we serve a God that, we just talked about it, I was dead in the grave. Mercy called my name. God can save you this morning. If you say, wait a minute, I'm not sure, you can leave here sure this morning. So again, here's what I want you to write on your outline. This is what we're going to talk about this morning. Do you know that you know that you know? that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord. That's a lot of knowing, isn't it? That's a lot of certainty. That's a lot of being absolutely sure that you know where you stand with Jesus Christ. This morning, in Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 25, we're going to look at someone who appeared to know, but then later it's revealed that maybe he didn't know. Let me read that to you. Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 25. It's not going to be on your screen this morning. I'm just going to read it. I want you to listen. Then we're going to talk about knowing for sure where you stand. Here's what it says. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed, a shift is happening here. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to talk about that more next week, what that's all about. But remember last week we saw that from the persecution, the death of Stephen, God pushed the church out. And now we see the church in Samaria and people in Samaria coming to know Christ as Savior, going to all the earth in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Now the church was in motion. Now it was on mission and people were getting saved. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Now our boy Peter, who did not hold back any punches, says this, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God." But wait a minute, it just told us that he believed and he followed. But Peter says, your heart's not right. You have no part in this. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours. And we're going to talk a little bit more in depth next week about how serious Peter's words were to him. Peter was not holding back anything, but we're going to go into more of that next week. He says, "Repent, therefore, of the wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." Now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Father God, I pray that as we look at your word this morning, you would clear up any confusion, clear up any doubt that we may have about our relationship with you. God, your word tells us that we can know that we know that we know that we know that we know we belong to you. So for those of us who know you this morning, just give us that peace, give us that comfort, give us that confidence that we are yours and forever will be. And Lord, I also pray for those who may determine today that they don't truly know you, that they don't have that confidence, they don't have that certainty. God, by the end of this message, give it to them. Open their eyes, draw them to you, so that every one of us, when we leave this place today, can know that we know that we know that we belong to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, did Simon the magician have a relationship with God? Was he a believer and then he walked away? Or was he never a believer at all? The Bible says he believed, and Peter said, you have no part in this. You're bound up in iniquity. So can we know for sure where we stand with God? Again, this is the most important thing that we can talk about in this life, is knowing for certain where we stand with God. The reason I said today's message is so important, because I want you to know for sure where you stand. Before we talk about Simon the magician and whether he knew or not, I want to talk about you. And I want to talk about whether you know or not. I want you to leave here knowing that you know that you know that you know. Because of the magnitude of this discussion, we're actually going to spend 2 weeks on this topic. This week, and then 2 weeks from now. Next week is Father's Day, so we'll take a break. Talk to your dad, so get ready. And then the second week, we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about this knowing for certainty. And we're going to look more in depth at Acts chapter 8 and look at Simon and try to determine what was he all about. But this morning, we're going to talk about this idea. Maybe you've heard this term before, this idea of eternal security. Can we really be secure in our faith? Can we ever lose our faith? Can we ever turn our back and walk away from our faith? Can we be a Christian at some point in our life and then end up going to hell at another point because we turned away or God forsake us? Can we ever lose what Jesus Christ has done for us? Many of you may say, no, absolutely not. And to you, I would say, how do you know? Do you know? Listen, I want you to know what you know and to know why you know it. Don't just say, well, I've always been taught that. That's what I've always heard from a little bitty kid to now is that, you know, we can never lose our salvation. Then I want to say to you, show me biblically where that is. Because if you can't show it biblically, what do you really know? So as a pastor, my heart is for you to know what you know, but know why you know it. So this morning, I'm going to help you out this morning. I'm going to give you some reasons why you can believe from the Bible that you can be eternally secure. You can have assurance of your salvation, that this idea of once saved, always saved is legit. It's the truth. So the first thing I want you to see on your outline, number one, is that we can know that we know that we know because the Bible tells us so. We can know that we know that we know because the Bible tells us so. Now, I believe there are many, 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 many passages in Scripture that teach this truth. And I'm going to encourage you to go dig and find them. This morning, I want to give you two of my favorites. Again, just to give you this foundation to build the rest of your life on. Because listen, there will be times when you face obstacles. There will be times when you face temptation. There will be times that you give in to that temptation, even as a child of God. But does that giving in to temptation, does that sinning, does that living for yourself for a period of time, does that take away what you have in Jesus Christ? Listen, you've got to know for sure that it doesn't. And the Bible clearly tells us so. So we're going to look at two passages of Scripture, and you see them written on your outline, and you can turn there if you like. John chapter 10 is the first one, verse 27 through 30. Now everything we talk about today, we're going to apply in 2 weeks and look at Simon the magician. And we're going to look at some more ways for us to test ourselves. But today, I just want to lay this foundation and just show you without a doubt that salvation is forever. It's for real. It's eternal. So John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28 say this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Now leave that right there for a moment because there are some key words in this passage that will really, at the end of it, we could say case closed. But here's what we got to be careful of as well, that we don't build theology off of one verse. We got to look at Scripture as a whole because there's been a lot of false doctrine, a lot of false theology when people pull something out of context and build something around it. That's not how we work. We look at God's Word as a whole. That's why I said, I'm giving you two passages that back each other up, but there are many, many, many more that show us this. But we're going to look at this one first. Look what it says there. Jesus says, this is Jesus talking, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I intimately know them. I know them with certainty. I absolutely know them. They are mine," is what he's saying. "And they follow me. I give them eternal life." Now here's the key to this. "And they will never perish." Now something interesting about this word never. I don't oftentimes talk about the Greek because that's the original language the Hebrew, New Testament was written in. But sometimes you got to pull out the Greek because sometimes the Greek gives us more depth than what we have in our English translations. And this word never is a perfect example of that. In the Greek, this word never is a double negative. What that means is it's used for emphasis. What it literally says, when Jesus says, and they will never perish, he's basically saying they will never, ever, ever, never, never, no, absolutely not, never. It's impossible for them to perish. That's how it's written in the original language. They will never, ever, no way, absolutely, without any doubt, certain, you will never, ever, ever, ever perish. A little more than just our word never. It's deep. It's for emphasis. Jesus packs a punch with that one. He says it is impossible for you, once you are my child and I've called you by my name and you belong to me, it is impossible for you to ever not be mine. So again, I could say case closed right here, but we're not going to do that because we're going to see more scriptures that back this thing up. But again, I believe every word in the Word of God, so that's enough for me, right? But we got to just see in total what Scripture says. But let's look a little bit more at this verse. I will never, ever, ever, you will never, ever, ever, ever perish. Look what he also says. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. That word snatch denotes the use of force. Nobody, no force, no matter how hard they try, can take you out of the hand of our Lord. Sometimes we sing that song, oh no, you never let go, right? Jesus says, you are in my hand, and no one, no matter how strong they are, no one, no matter how hard they try, no one can ever rip you out. Never. So the enemy can do what he wants. He can persecute you. He can badger you. He can throw temptation after temptation after temptation your way, but he can never take you out of the hand of Jesus Christ. Because that's a done deal and that's permanent. Now, something we've got to understand about this as well. Jesus says, no one can take you out of my hand. No one. Now, does that include, now think about this with me for a moment. Does that include ourselves? If we are in his hands and we will never, ever, 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 ever lose our salvation and perish, and he says, no one will ever take you out of my hand. Can anybody who is genuinely a believer in Jesus Christ ever walk away and not be a Christian anymore? Can they? No. Good answer. Jesus says, no one will snatch them out of my hand. That includes us walking out. Are you stronger than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Do you have power to pry yourself out of his hand? Absolutely not. The question we have to ask in those type situations where somebody looked like they were a believer and then they walked away, either they're being disobedient and God's working on their heart and he's going to bring them back, or maybe they never were in his hand for the first place. But Jesus says unequivocally, without any shadow of a doubt, if you've heard my voice, if you belong to me, you will never, ever, 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 ever perish. And you will never, you can't walk out, nobody can take you out of my hand. One of the most powerful two verses in Scripture right here about our eternal security. But just for extra emphasis, Jesus gives us more. Look what it says in the next two verses. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. If you keep reading, people around him are about ready to stone him at this point because he just, again, equated himself with God. They didn't like that. But Jesus says, you're in my hands, and no one can take you out. And my Father gave you to me, and you're also in his hands. It's like you've heard the old expression, you're in good hands with Allstate. And I don't want to offend anybody who may represent Allstate or work for Allstate in here. But Allstate's hands ain't nothing like Jesus and God's, amen. Amen. You may be in good hands with Allstate, and they're great, great, great. But you're in great hands with God and Jesus, right? Great hands. Great hands. No one can ever take you out. The Bible tells us without any doubt we can know God.
know with absolute certainty that we are His. We just showed you one verse. Now I'm going to show you another one. Romans 8, 28 through 30. And we talked about Romans 8, 28 last week, but we're going to look at that again just for a moment. Again, just to lay this foundation, because you've got to know without any shadow of doubt where you are with Jesus Christ. And you're going to have some tests in a few weeks so that you can, again, dig a little bit deeper. But here's another great passage that provides you so much assurance. Again, you don't build a doctrine off one verse, so I'm giving you at least a couple here. Here's what it says, Romans 8, 28. And we know, there's that word again, know, with absolute certainty, without any doubt, we can know this, that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purposes. This idea of we know, this phrase, carries the idea that we can know with absolute certainty that we are secure. If God has called us, if we are His children, we can know without any shadow of a doubt that that's for our good, ultimately eternal life. We can know that without any reservation, without any hesitation. This is what Paul's implying here when he says, we know that all things work together for good. And one of the ways that we know that we talked about last week, that no matter what happens to us in this life, we are still His. And nothing can take that away. Cancer can't, jobs can't, relationships can't. Nothing can take that away. We can know without a shadow of a doubt that we are His. But the next couple of verses give us that assurance even more about our own relationship with Him. Now I'm going to tell you something about these next few verses, that this, when you start going to these next couple of verses, you are swimming in the spiritual deep waters. I'll tell you that right now. We're about to jump in off the deep end here. But don't let that scare you, because there's a lot of big words here. And for the purposes of what we're talking about, I'm not going to try to, you know, explain every single one of them so that you leave here completely satisfied with what they're saying. But I do want you to see what He's saying in this passage. Maybe at some other point, God will lead us to go through Romans, which is probably my favorite book in the Bible. But again, you're in the spiritual deep end when we start going down these next couple of verses. But that's okay, right? Because the Holy Spirit who inspired Paul to write this, where else does He reside? In us. So when we read His Word, the same Holy Spirit that inspired Paul to write it is helping us to interpret it. But we got to, you know, sometimes jump in the deep end and ask Him to help us swim. So I'm asking you to hold on for a minute. Let's just go through some verses. But again, our point here is to prove to you that you can be confident in your faith. And this is another great verse that gives you that assurance without any doubt. So let's just run through these. Look what it says in verse 29. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined. See, I tell you, there's some big ones here. Those He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. Okay, brief definitions here. The word foreknew is a Greek word that refers to God's eternal, predetermined, loving, and saving intention. God knows those who are going to get saved. He is God. He knows everything, right? Nothing takes Him by surprise. Nothing. God will never do this. I didn't think of that one. I didn't see that one coming. God foreknows everything. And His foreknowledge, biblically, has nothing to do with us or what we may or may not do. It's God's knowledge of what God's going to do is what this word means. But we can talk more about that at another time, another place. But those He foreknew, those He knew that He would save, He also predestined. Another big, controversial, scary word, right? It just means God, in His knowledge, in His sovereignty, determines beforehand things. God knows who's going to be saved before we're ever even born, right? Now, again, you're in the spiritual deep end here. I told you that. But again, study these things out. So it says, those He foreknew, those He knew in advance, those who He would call to salvation, look what it says in verse 30, and those whom He predestined, He also called. Those whom He also called, He justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. Now the word called there, it means the ones that God, you know, He calls you to salvation. Can any of us come to know Jesus Christ without God first calling us? Without His Holy Spirit drawing us, opening our eyes, revealing Himself to us? We just sing about it. Again, I was dead in the grave. We looked at that at Easter. We're dead in our sin. No one seeks God, but God calls us. His Holy Spirit draws us. So those he foreknew, those he predestined, he called. Then it says, those he called, he justified. That means he saves you. He declares you righteous. You're no longer guilty with the weight of sin over your head anymore. He takes that away. He makes you his child. Now those he justified, it says, he also glorified. That means that's the ultimate end game, right? Glorification. When we shed these mortal fleshly bodies and we get our new glorified bodies and spend all eternity with God in heaven. Are you looking forward to that day? But what I want you to see here in these couple of verses is what's been called a golden chain of salvation. You've got five things: the foreknowledge, the predestination, the called, the justified, and the glorified. They're like five links in a chain. And they all connect to each other. And you notice over and over again in those couple of verses, it says, he also, he also, he also. Again, talking about God at work, unifying all these things together. So these things, from the foreknowledge to the glorification, they're a chain of events that will happen. You can't break that chain. This is God's deal. But notice something that this is where we want to focus in on this morning. This is what I want you to remember out of these couple of verses. Notice what tense, that means future, present, past, right? You know what tenses are. Notice what tense each of these elements is in. What? Past. Okay. So we can get the part with the foreknowledge. We can get about the predestined. If we're saved, we can say, yeah, we've been justified. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? But has anybody sitting in this room today been glorified? Has anybody sitting in this room who can hear me today, have you been glorified? You haven't yet. Because you're still alive in this flesh, but guess what? God already calls you glorified. It's in the past tense, meaning it's a done deal. This chain cannot be broken. Everyone God saves will be glorified because God refers to you, Paul referred to you many, many years ago. Everyone who will embrace Jesus Christ as Savior, in God's eyes, it's a done deal. You're glorified. That's why it's past tense. It's not future tense here. It's past tense. God says, every one of you who gets saved, I'll finish the deal. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. There's no room for doubt. There's no hesitation. God says, you are glorified in my mind. Even though you're not there yet, in God's economy, it's a done deal. It's past tense. When you got saved, your glorification is a sure deal, guaranteed to happen. Do you see that? Do you see that in those verses? Now, real quickly, if you have your Bibles already in Romans chapter 8, I want to read verses 31 through 39. And again, it's not going to be on your screen. Hadn't planned on reading them, but God said, go ahead and read those. John MacArthur calls these next few verses a great hymn of eternal security. So he just connected the fact that everyone who is saved, everyone who says, I'm a believer, God already declared you justified, glorified. It will happen. It's past tense. There's nothing you can do to stop that. But notice the next few verses and how beautiful Paul writes this. This is wonderful for everybody who's a believer in Jesus Christ. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39. Not going to talk a lot about it. Just want you to hear these beautiful words. It says, what then shall we say to these things? That means when you understand that God saved you and there's nothing anyone can do, nothing you can do to lose that. He already calls you glorified and you're not there, but in his mind it's a done deal. Paul says, what shall we say to these things when we really let them resonate with us? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, the one who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Every time the enemy says, God, oh, they're not worthy. Oh, look at what they're doing. There's your children. Look at them living a life of sin. Jesus is saying, they're still mine. They're hard-headed. Sometimes they make me want to wring their necks, but they're my kids. They're mine. And you can't touch them. Because they're in my hand. I heard an amen. I like that. They're in my hands, and I'm never letting go. So enemy can come and accuse, and say, look. Jesus says, I know, but they're mine. Aren't you glad he's not finished with you yet? We're still in a work in progress. We're still being sanctified, which comes between that justified and glorified, that process of being sanctified, meaning we're becoming more and more and more like him. But none of us are glorified yet. But Jesus is there interceding for us, saying, those are mine. Now look at the next verse, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now again, I'm going to throw some Greek at you. In the Greek, that's written in a way so that the only response is nothing. Paul is asking a redundant question. Who then can separate us? But the answer in the Greek is just for everybody to cry out and say, nothing. Nothing. And then Paul gives another beautiful statement. Look what it says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long, and we are regarded as sheep being led to the slaughter. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Meaning, there's not anything in this life that can take away your relationship with him. You want to hear a praise song? This is it. Put this to music and let's sing it next Sunday. This is the ultimate praise shout out to God. Nothing can take away what we have in you. We are more than conquerors, not by our own, through him who loved us. Look what it says. For I am sure, without any hesitation, without any reservation, I am sure with all certainty, Paul says, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things in present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In my mind, I see this beautiful picture of somebody just getting saved and hearing that that's for all eternity. And no matter how many times you slip up, no matter how many times you do stupid things, you're in Jesus' hands and he never lets go. And I see somebody just belting out this beautiful praise. Paul belted it out. You remember who Paul was, right? We've already met him in Acts. He was Saul. And what has he been doing up to this point? Destroying, persecuting, ravaging the church. And now he's thinking, oh, back to my past. Can God really forgive me? Is God really, really going to let me in? He remembers what I did. He remembers that I watched Stephen die and I gave my hearty consent to it. But then he says, it's not about me. I'm not the one holding the chain together. God is. And God says, I'm already glorified. It's a done deal. Nothing can take me from his hand. And man, Paul celebrates. When was the last time you really just had a praise party with God for your salvation? Should be every single day. When you get out of bed, first breath you take, oh God, thank you, I'm yours. And no matter what happens to me today, no matter what stupid thing I do today, when I laid my head down tonight, if I don't go home first to be with you, I'll still be yours. I'll be yours forever. Something to celebrate, amen. So we can know that we know that we know that we know because the Bible tells us so. But here's the next thing and the last thing we're going to look at this morning. We can know that we know that we know that we know because of God's amazing grace. Is God's grace amazing, folks? We're going to sing about it in a moment, but listen. Here's what I want you to get from this last point. In other words, We can know that we know that we know that we know that we're His because of His grace, not anything that we've done. Our faith connects us with what He's doing in our life, absolutely. But think of this for a moment. You're standing on the top of a burning building, right? And fire is coming from behind you. And you're like 60 stories up. And there's no way down. But then you see this fire truck rolling in. You hear the sirens. You hear the rescue coming. And then they come and they put this great big net for you to jump into. You see the flames. You know you're a dead man walking. You know the only way for you to be saved is to take that jump. That jump is our faith. The net is God's grace. Because if we just jumped and there was no net, could our faith save us? You could jump off and say, there's nothing there, but I believe. You know, I'm not, but if you were this mindset, that you're a big fan of Star Trek or something, right? And I don't understand a lot of that stuff, but if you are, you're going to say, when I get down there, there's going to be a net transported or whatever things, and it's just going to materialize. So I'm going to run and jump and have all the faith that it's going to be there, then splat! It didn't happen. But see, without faith, we can't connect to what God is doing, right? It takes that faith. But again, you got to have the net there first, right? You can't be saved without that net. And that net is God's grace. Nobody can be saved apart from the grace of God. A couple of verses just to remind you, to assure you that it's not about you and what you can do to keep your salvation. It's about what God's already done for your salvation. Romans 3, 10 and 11. None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. Again, we're dead in the grave without Him. We're covered with sin and shame. We can do nothing. We can't reach out until He draws us. We saw this on Easter. We remind you of these truths. Ephesians 2:1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin. Again, what can dead people do? What can dead people do? Nothing. So God is saying, in regards to your salvation, you can do nothing. I'm the one that it all starts from. I'm the one that draws you. I'm the one that opens your eyes. Yes, you have to have the faith to connect with it, but if you jump and there's no net there, what good's your faith? We're dead in our sin. Notice what He says in verse 4. Again, my two favorite words in the Bible, but God, right? But anytime you see a but in the Bible, it's a good thing. But God shows, be God being rich in mercy, unending mercy. He's never going to run out because of the great love with which He loved us. Because of the great love which He loved us, He put that net there. He made a way. Verse 5, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. Here's the key, by grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved. I didn't put it up there, but if you read on down to verse 8, it says we're saved by grace through faith. Again, faith has to be there, but faith alone won't save you. It's the grace starts it. Again, salvation starts with God. We have our part. We got to call out. We got to believe. But we can't even do that without Him. So we can know that we know that we know that we know that we are His. Because the Bible tells us over and over and over again, and because of God's amazing grace. Now, here's the last thing I want you to write on your outline, and I want you to understand and let these truths resonate with you. Anytime you have a doubt, anytime you hesitate and say, oh God, am I really good enough? Are you really going to hold me in your hands? Listen, so because our salvation did not start with us, it is not secured by us. Meaning, we couldn't do anything to earn it. No man, by grace you have saved through faith, not of any works, lest no someone or anyone could boast. We can't be good enough. We can't do enough good to merit God loving us. His grace, you know what the word grace means? Unmerited favor. Now what does unmerited mean? Undeserved, unearned. We can't do anything to earn it. So because our salvation did not start with us, it is not secured by us, but, this is an important but, since it started with God, it is secured by God. Go back to John 10. They will never, ever, 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 and you can say that to infinity, never, ever, ever perish. No one will ever snatch them out of my hands. You can't leave me. You can't be taken out of my hands. And from that beautiful golden chain, those he foreknew, he predestined. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. If you are saved this morning, you will be glorified. God already says it's happened. You can know that you know that you know that you know without any doubt that you belong to him. After Father's Day, we're going to go back to Acts chapter 8. And using the criteria that we just established today, we're going to look at this man named Simon the Magician. And we're going to see, did he really know? Did he really believe? Did he really fall away? You already know the answer to that. What's that? No. So it's really, did he really believe and just needed to repent? Or did he never know in the first place? And we're going to look long and hard at that, and I'm going to give you some other scriptures so that you can make sure you know where you are and you're not just going through the motions. So study up on that. Read Acts chapter 8, 9 through 25. Get ready for 2 weeks from now. But today I just felt God say, you've got to give them the foundation. Because maybe some of you are doubting. Maybe some of you have fears. Maybe some of you say, God, you really can't want me. You know what I've done. You know the mistakes I'm making now. You know my battles. You know my struggles. How can you hang on to me? And again, God says, you know why? Because it's not about you. I know you're a dirty, rotten sinner. I know everything about you. Any things you don't know, I know. But you see, your salvation isn't secured by you and what you've done. It's secured by me and what I did. On the cross, once and for all, he paid the price. So this morning, as we close, do you know, do you know, do you know that you know, that you know, that you know, without any shadow of a doubt that you were his? What must you do to be saved? The Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. What is that belief? That's the faith, right? Believing that he is real. Believing you are a sinner and knowing that you need him. Confessing your sin. Turning from your sin and saying, God, I want to live for you the rest of my life. But again, that faith connects us to what God has already done. That's the net. You jump off and you're saved. Not by anything you can do, just believing. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, and it's a great little word there, will be saved. Is that a promise? Is that 100% meaning everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved? Absolutely. So this morning, if you're here and you're saying, you know what? I don't have that peace. The whole message, Pastor, I've been listening to you and I am squirming. I'm scared to death now. Thanks. No, if that's you, then praise God. Because maybe God is showing you something today. Maybe you've been relying on what you did. Maybe you've been relying on some prayer you prayed as a kid. Maybe you're relying that your parents took you to church, and just because they're Christians now, you've just morphed into one. And maybe God's saying, it doesn't work like that. You have to believe. You have to surrender. That's all. You can't be good enough. You can't earn my favor. So this morning, if that's you, there's good news. If you're thinking those very thoughts, if you're thinking, oh, I really need to surrender. I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's the Holy Spirit of God opening your eyes. That's the Holy Spirit of God drawing you to himself. That is the Holy Spirit of God working on you saying, I'm coming. What do you got to do in response? Just say yes. Just say, yes, I surrender, I surrender, I believe. It's really that easy. You say, well, don't I have to change my life first? Don't I have to, you know, start coming to church? Don't I have to read my Bible and all that? No. You just got to say yes. Because you know what happens when God comes in and gives you the Holy Spirit? All those things will start to work themselves out. Because now it won't be you anymore trying to please God. It will be the Holy Spirit living inside of you, strengthening you, leading you, directing you to live a life pleasing for God. So this morning, I'm going to ask you. I want every head to bow, every eye closed. I'm not going to make you stand up and, you know, do anything. But I do want you, just in the silence of this place, to ask God, every one of you, I want every one of you to ask God, Lord, am I truly yours? Do I have the assurance that the Bible says I should have without any shadow of a doubt? Do I know that I know that I know that I know? Maybe you are a believer, but you've let sin creep in and you say, wait a minute, I don't have the assurance because of what I'm doing. Maybe God's telling you, hey, you need to repent of what you're doing. Your actions are separating you from me, and you're feeling this distance, and you're doubting because of what's going on in your life. If that's you this morning, repent. Repent. God will search your heart. God will reveal things that are hindering you in your walk with Him. Listen, listen, listen. And if you can say without a shadow of doubt, you know that you have embraced Him, you know that you belong to Him, then this morning, won't you recommit yourself to living for Him? You may be here this morning, as I said, and you may be thinking, I don't have that assurance because I'm relying on something that I did. I'm relying on my good works, and I think I've done more good than bad, and I think I'm just going to skip by. Well, listen, nobody can skip by. You're dead in your sin. You can't do anything. And if those thoughts are going through your head this morning, that's the Holy Spirit of God opening your eyes and drawing you. The net is there. You see the fire. You smell the smoke. God says, just jump. Trust me. Trust me. Listen, if God is moving you in that direction, if you feel Him moving, please, please, please don't ignore it. Please don't leave here without doing business with God. And I guarantee you, God will change your life forever. In a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation, and if you feel God moving you in any direction this morning, this altar is here for you to pray. This altar is here for you to come and just do business with God. To say, yeah, God, I thank you for that assurance. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for the encouragement I got today to really know that I'm yours. I praise you. And I just want to be like Paul and burst out into praise. But if you're here this morning and God had this message for you to bring you into His kingdom, then please, just come and fall at His feet. If you want me to pray with you, I will. If you want a deacon or somebody sitting beside you to come with you, just grab them by the hand. Listen, nobody's going to judge you. Nobody's going to think bad of you. We're going to celebrate with you because every one of us was right where you used to be. God had to open our eyes. He had to draw us before we ever could come to know Him as well. So, Father God, I just pray in these next few moments that Your Holy Spirit would do what only You can do. Open hearts. Let us all know where we truly stand with You. And Lord, if there's any here who don't know You, may today be the day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.